and seeing what's going on in the Samson story in regard to his being taken captive, and so that we can see why all of this is in the Scriptures and what's going on in the Scriptures, why God gave us this story, and things that we're supposed to be able to see if we allow the Spirit to open our eyes. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, orienting ourselves to trusting the teacher, God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we come humbly now before your presence as we enter into the dear part of the spiritual warfare, and that is the opening up of Scripture. There is nothing that we will do that would be more frightening than opening up of Scripture. There are just so many ways in which man interprets and handles and deals with the Scriptures. Also, Father, we know that there is no way that we can see and understand with our eyes what's the saying, what's going on in Scripture. We recognize our weakness. And so, Father, we pray now that as we put ourselves into the ministry of your Spirit, you sent him to teach, to illuminate, to open up the truth that is in Scripture. That's why he was sent. We trust him now, Father, to perform his ministry inside of our own souls, to open our eyes that we might see. Samson's story is not unlike so many things that are in Scripture. We can look at it superficially and even from the flesh draw some wonderful principles as far as man's concerned, and miss the whole thing. Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes so we might see. Guide us in this thing, Father. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, next week I will not be here. I'll be in Tucson speaking, so solicit your prayers in Tucson. It is a little hot in here, but let's open the Scriptures to Judges 16. I'm going to be at Tucson Bible Church. It's on something like Smirnoff Road. And it's near Smirnoff and Broadway. And so be there teaching. I teach all night, Monday through Friday night. John likes to get all his money's worth. And no money involved anyway, but he likes to get it there. And so we have a wonderful time, wonderful fellowship there. And Tucson Bible Church. Okay, Judges chapter 16. And we move now to verse 18. And allowing the Spirit to show us these things and see these things. And again, I just reiterate to you, I know how uncommon the things that we're looking at here are as far as all the commentaries, virtually every commentary you read. And I know that. And I deal with that in my own study, my own prayer life with him. But it's just the more I do pray and the more that I study this and then look at other things, this is where the Spirit has taken me on this journey in the study of Samson. And it's also opened my eyes into other things that maybe we weren't seeing really what was going on in Scripture in a way that most people will take it. But if we just allow the Spirit to open our eyes, if we can see the spiritual warfare, the depth of what is going on. So we have moved to verse 18. We closed last Wednesday evening with the great issue of this whole study. Now, I just want to start there. Is what is the study of Samson about? It's polarized is the best word. You've got a blatant picture of this man in his strength. And you've got a blatant picture of this man in his weakness, in his passion, in his pattern of sin. And on the contrast, you've got a phenomenal picture of this man's strength. And most people will identify with that, but they don't maybe not see everything that's going on with it. But most people think of Samson very strong, very weak. But what we need to do is to realize that we are Samson. That when we are in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are as strong as Samson. When we are in the darkness, when we are out of the power of the Spirit, we are like Samson. We are weak. And our weakness trend may not be like his, and so we don't identify ourselves with him. But this is what the picture we're seeing is. We are all weak. Oh, wretched man that I am, from last night with Paul in Romans 7. You see how wretched you are, how weak you are. So this is what we have. Now we move to verse 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart. And that's just, there's so many things. I know it's taken much longer than I thought, but I hope you're enjoying the journey with Samson. But that's such an interesting phrase to spend some time on that, all that was in his heart. What a relationship Delilah and Samson must have had. We think of their relationship as just one in a bedroom. But apparently this man and woman had much more than just a bedroom relationship. And to communicate and to tell. And that may disturb you, but look what Jesus did with Judas. He revealed everything to Judas, where he was going to be, his thoughts and teachings. And so here is the relationship, if we can see these things, if we're on the right track, of maybe even some of the things of God and Satan, or Lucifer, the shining one, the seal of God's perfect creation. That's what Satan or Lucifer was. And so now we come to Delilah here. Delilah saw that he had told her, in other words, the word to see means to realize, that Samson had told her all that was in his heart. See, and that's just a breaking thing to do, to open yourself up. Most people won't do that. Even today, most married people won't open themselves up to one another for fear of revealing what? Revealing our weaknesses. If this person realizes how weak I am, if I open up and show how weak I am, they won't love me anymore. They won't do this anymore, or they'll take advantage of it, or whatever it is. So most people, including Christians, build this wall, and we hide ourselves in the confines of this wall. And sure enough, what does happen is that when people do begin to find out, they do react to people's weaknesses. So it really is a truth. It really is a truth that comes about. So, and here we have it here. He opened up, and look what she did with the information. Christ opened up. Look what Judas did with the information. So, while on the one hand, we talk about those who can and won't open up and tell us all that's in their heart, but you look at human history and you look at the way people are, you can understand that, because people will use, when they find things out about you, they will use it against you at the right time. And so people are very prone to guard themselves. We call building a wall and not communicating. Men often more charged with this than women. But I think women also build a wall and just don't reveal a lot that's in their heart for a lot of different reasons. Okay. She sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart." And the repetition of that phrase makes it very important to us. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. Now, when the religious authorities came to arrest Jesus Christ, how did they know exactly where Jesus would be in the middle of the night? I mean, they didn't like, okay, in the afternoon he will be here or there, but boy, where somebody's going to be in the middle of the night, that's private knowledge. That's intimate knowledge. Well, they knew it because of a betrayal of a friend. That's how they knew where they would find Jesus, in the middle of the night. And Samson is betrayed here by what we would call a lover, but I want to point out to you that the Hebrew word is used, the Hebrew word for lover and friend is the same Hebrew word. And so you have that parallel going on here, friend, lover. And with Christ, it was Judas. With Samson, it is lover. And so you have that betrayal thing going on. Jesus Christ revealed his heart, his life, to those that were close to him, Judas included. And Judas used that information that he gained by being a friend, he used it to betray him, to use that information against him. People, I encourage you, and only a friend can betray. Always remember that. Let's don't be startled by betrayal, because an enemy, you know, somebody, I'm your enemy, and okay, I expect that from them. But when a friend uses this information, I just encourage you in the walk of the Spirit, when you're in a battle with someone and you've got this kind of information, really be led of the Spirit when you, you're going to use any information to do something to someone, because this is ghastly, and we studied it with reference to Christ and Judas, so we have that. Now verse 19. And she made him sleep. Oh, by the way, and those they brought the money. She got her money for it. And we've already talked about the amount of money, each one of them, 100 and pieces of silver and all of this stuff going on. So they brought all of this tremendous amount of money to Delilah. She's really going to be paid to betray a friend. And often through history and in life, the betrayer is rewarded. Not always financially. Sometimes it's just revenge. Their knowledge and the private knowledge they have, it builds up inside, and rather than handling it, that now they can use all of that information and now gain by hurting that individual. So it can be a financial gain that brings about betrayal. It can also be a personal type of revenge that is gained by it. But they brought all the money in their hands. That's the blood money that they brought in their own hands. So the enemy here is all of these people, as we saw with the Lord who came against Jesus Christ and the rulers. Verse 19, and she made him sleep on her knees, on her lap. We're not told how. The NIV translates the Hebrew here, having put him to sleep on her lap. And the lap concept is more true of what's going on here. We don't know how. It says very clearly she made him sleep, or having put him to sleep. We don't know how. Drugs, just the total the totalness of a friend and a lover, of calmness. Everything's okay. You can go to sleep here. You're in good. You're in safe. You're in a safe company. You're in a safe and wonderful place. So feel comfortable and relaxed, because remember now, Samson was sleeping with a woman, and outside of the gate, outside of that girl's apartment, or that lady's place, that prostitute's place, they were lying in wait. So here's a man who is conscious of a lot of battles going on, and when you are conscious of that, it's very difficult to fall asleep. This is a significant little place. People, let me share this with you. I don't know how much you know about the Constitution of the United States of America. Constitutional law, constitutional lawyer, every statement in our Constitution is so well thought and so well placed. If we have something you can see in repetition, but there's no repetition in words, there's no useless words, there's no idle conversation words, the Constitution is just so perfectly written, with every word carrying great weight, and that's why lawyers spend a great deal of time debating the Constitution. How much more Scripture? The Holy Spirit just wants to make the Bible 900 pages? Do you believe that? No. So the Holy Spirit is directing these things so that we can see things. And so here, having put him to sleep on her lap. So Samson has had people lying in wait to get him when he was in bed with the prostitute, or in the prostitute's place. Came out at midnight, and there they all were. And that's when we saw in the first part of chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Now he can go to sleep. So we're seeing a picture here. He feels very comfortable in with Delilah here. Okay, what do we have? He's going to sleep on her lap. We have a picture of Samson in what we'll call sleepness of death, in the darkness of the sleep here. Samson has given himself over now. Now, things are going to happen that will be stronger than this, but here's the beginning picture. He has given himself over. just as Jesus Christ gave himself over to those who came after him. The picture is, I'm totally at yours now, and this is what Jesus Christ did when he said they came for him. Remember, we read this in our Easter special. Who do you see? Jesus of Nazareth, I am. They fell down, and we talked about why he said that. He was talking to Satan, who was in Judas. Then he said, I asked you who you're seeking, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth, I am who you take. And they didn't fall down, and they took him. And from then on, from that point on, it's like Samson, just in darkness now, in asleep. And they can do with him whatever they want. He's like mere man, and they can take him. Okay. As she made him sleep on her knees, having put him to sleep on her lap, now look at the next phrase, and called for a man. Well, I hope that jumps out at you. Just one man. Where thousands failed, one woman and one man do what thousands could not do, because he could kill a thousand. He did it. He's already done that. He's demonstrated it. This is how we look when we're weak. This is how he looks now, like mere man. He is so much like mere man now that one man and one woman can take him and do what thousands cannot do. Start thinking with me now. This is a dramatic difference between being in the power of the Spirit and being out of the power of the Spirit. A dramatic difference in your life, dear people. I mean, dramatic. The power of Samson, he could slay a thousand. The weakness of Samson, one man can take him and one woman. That's us. That's how vulnerable we are. And I'm going to show you this as we develop this passage. You're just slowly seeing more and more what you and I look like in weakness. Okay. Continuing. And had him shave off lots of his hair. There's that superstitious thing that he gave to them. Okay. Then, look at this. From lover to look at this. She began to afflict him. She was his lover. She was his friend. He felt comfortable with her. She now afflicts him. This is a picture of Israel and what it did to Christ. Israel was Christ's friend. Israel, he came out of Israel, and they afflicted him. Look what we have here. And she began to afflict him. It's going to go on for quite a while. This is so important, so powerful. The Hebrew word here is kalal. Okay, that doesn't impress you. But what does the word mean? The word means to wound. I'm going to read right out of the lexicon. This Hebrew word here, she began to afflict him, to wound him, to profane, to defile. People, it's words like that that describe what they did to Jesus Christ. They beat him. They spit on him. They mocked him. We saw this when we studied the Easter special. This is what they did to Christ. They started this very same word. They started defiling, afflicting him. This is very important to watch what's going to happen now. And lover and friend, now she's got him. Now she's going to start afflicting, defile him, wound him, break him, is what her goal and objective is. This is what happened to Christ by his own people. They began to spit, mock, make fun of him. Okay, look at the next line. And his strength left him. This is so dramatic in the Hebrew and so important to a Jew. I'm going to tell you why. This is very important to a Jew. His strength left him. That's a frightening phrase. That's a frightening phrase. Most Christians fear sin, preach about sin, worried about sin, when we really should be concerned about the Holy Spirit leaving us. That should bring greater fear than ever sinning. Because people, sin is a result of my weak state. Sin isn't how you get out of the filling of the Spirit. You stop walking by faith, you stop having His power, and you will sin. Don't fear sin. If you want to fear something, fear the Spirit taking away His power. Fear the Spirit taking away from you His leading. Fear Him taking away His fruit of love and peace and joy and patience. Fear the Spirit taking away His wisdom from you. Oh, God, Christian, don't fear sin. Fear the loss of this intimacy with the third member of the Godhead. That's what Jesus said. What is sin? It's just a result that I have lost His power. Why is He able to do this thing? The Spirit has left Him. Look at our phrase now. His strength left him. Let me show you how the Hebrew does this. See if you can appreciate it. He began to afflict him. Now before, when they began to afflict, he would just what? Snap, boom, pop, power, out. They couldn't do anything to him. That's what happened. He began to afflict. His strength left him. Let me tell you how the Hebrew word is. His strength answered back. The Hebrew word is to answer back. Now, most commentaries say, yeah, that's one of the things that the word means, but, you know, we don't need to translate it that way and all this. Sometimes I like straight translation. How dramatic. See what happens here. See if you can see this. His strength answered back to her afflicting him. His strength answered back to his condition of being going to sleep on her lap. His strength answered back to where he had put himself. Now, I'm just giving you the straight Hebrew translation. His strength answered back, now continue it, by turning its head away from him. And please put that down, I'll tell you why. By turning its head, that is, it, meaning its strength, its head away from him. It's personalizing the strength here. Okay, he began to afflict him, his strength answered back to that by turning its head away from him. Now, I want to tell you about this Hebrew word. What is said here is probably the worst thing that can happen to a Jew in their thinking. This is the worst thing that can happen to a person. It is used for God turning his head away from you. Some people talk about, boy, God being angry at you, and God giving you, and God doing this in your life. Ask any woman. It's about the worst thing a man can do. Just completely ignore. I don't care if you don't like what I'm wearing. I don't care if we fight. I don't, you know, some women will even take a beating, I'm told, rather than just be totally ignored. Because at least if he's there battling, he's there. But just completely ignore you like you don't even exist. You're not even there. Now, let's go to a dramatic point of this. Your relationship with God. And he just turns his head. And that's the Hebrew expression. God just turns his head. I don't have nothing to do with you. Turn my head over here. And that's the expression of you. Same Hebrew word. And here you are. People were always without God. Where are we if God turns his head on me? God, don't do that to me. Beat me. Chastise me. Take me through the fire. Love me. Show me. Deal with me any way you want. But, oh, God, please don't just turn away like I'm not even there and you're not there. I want you to see this in a Jewish thinking, a Jewish mentality of the Hebrew here. It's a horrible scene. It's just the worst condition you can be in. Where God just and how sometimes what's our worst condition in life when it looks like God doesn't care about us. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a horrible place to be. God just doesn't care. God isn't doing good and God isn't doing bad. God just doesn't care about me. Theologically, I know He does. Experientially, what's going on right now? He doesn't care. What are you saying? It's like He's just turned His head. And it just doesn't matter. It's just a horrible thing. A parent does that to a child. The parent has wrestled with the child and dealt with the child, and finally the parent said, "I don't care. Go do what you want to do. I do not care anymore. Doesn't bother me one bit. Just go. Nobody loves me anymore," the kid said. I'm not talking about all the battle that caused the parent to do that. I'm talking about that point. And somebody that's important just turns their head. And all your screaming, yelling, crying, you can do anything. And this is, go ahead. And this is the Hebrew word for God turning his head. And that's what's used here. He's turning his head, giving them no aid, no help. The Hebrew word here means, you know, I used to write the Hebrew on the board and do all of that. I'm not saying it's not wrong or anything. I don't care about anybody who does it. But that doesn't impress you. If it does, I'm sorry. But I never wrote it to impress you, but just to help you go along with it. But I do want you to know what the Hebrew words mean here. And the word to turn here, turn away, the word means to turn off. It means to call back. It means to depart. Here's another interesting one I found. Leave something undone. To withdraw. To be without. All describing the taking away here of the power of God the Holy Spirit from Samson. His strength now. So she began to afflict him, wound him, mock him, profane him, and his strength answered back by turning its head away from him. I'm going to move on, but I hope you do appreciate the strength of this phrase now in this picture, in this passage. Picture here, Samson's strength has turned away from Samson. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, has now withdrawn. And what happens? What's the result when the strength of the Holy Spirit goes? Samson is what? He's like mere man. And she's now realizing that. He's like mere man. Just like Jesus Christ. They started spitting and beating and mocking and all the things they did. He didn't do a thing. He was like mere man to them. Foolishness. Weak. Okay, continue our passage. What happens when the strength turns away? Look what it says. Therefore, they get to therefore, because it's you and me. It's you and I when we lose the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what the results are. Therefore, they can do whatever they desire. She can afflict him. She can profane him. He is like mere man. And again, this is not unlike Jesus Christ, where it appears that he has no strength, no power to prevent all the things that they were doing to him. There's nothing that he could do to prevent it, as far as the way it looks. Okay, let's go to verse 20. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as..." By the way, I do want to share with you, and I'm wrestling whether or not to, but it's there. Since he's doing this after profaning him, cutting off his hair, and maybe some other things. They disrobed Jesus Christ, which is a position of weakness and vulnerability, what nakedness is. We are naked. This all goes back to the garden. We are naked from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we could carry this whole theme through the deal. Now we come to verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." Going to see now if he's going to break through all of this like he did before. And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times, set myself free." There's that word, free. What did we see Sunday? Jesus Christ, the two sendings of God. Christ came to set us free. The whole word, the Spirit of the Lord is there, is liberty. What do you know you have when you're walking in the Spirit? Liberty. I'm free. Look what he says. "I will go out as at other times and take myself free of the shackles and the bonds that have been tightened against me." But he did not know. What a sad phrase. That the Lord hath turned his head. There's the same word. Departed, see the word departed? Same word. Departed, turned away from him. He did not know it. Okay, he did not know, not realize. Again, there's that unknown, that mystery thing, the secret. Do you know? Did not know. That secret thing we've been studying all through this study is the secret thing. What's the secret? Here he doesn't know something. Doesn't know something. There's some things that you and I may not know that are crucial to our life. And not knowing in regard to the Holy Spirit is crucial to our life. Now look in verse 20. I want you to see something here. Verse 20. See if you can see this. In order that you will, please look back with me at chapter 13. The last verse. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Okay, so we've been talking about the Holy Spirit inside of him and the Holy Spirit giving him the power, right? Okay, verse 20. Look at verse 20 again now with me. But he did not know that the Lord had departed, left him. Who's the Lord here? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. People in Scripture, if you stay with Scripture, not with the traditions of modern man, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is Lord, and this whole thing, and you never move to the Holy Spirit, God the Father is your Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord. God the Holy Spirit is your Lord. They're all your Lord, people. Don't allow the traditions of man to cause you to lose sight of your intimacy with all members of the Godhead. Please don't do that. Like everything is Jesus. No. My first Lordship is the Lordship of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, who will then take me to my Lord, Jesus Christ, who will then take me to my Lord, God the Father. And we're going to see again Sunday in our study how this whole thing of worshiping God. Jesus Christ came to bring us to God. Holy Spirit came to bring us to God. So I just want you to know, He is the Lord here. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. And know what the Lord here does. Know what the Holy Spirit does. Departed. The same word in verse 17. Same word in 19. Left. Departed. Withdrawn. Turned his head. So here we have it. It's departed away. Now, let's make one thing straight so that we don't lose ground here. This can never happen to you if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can never lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Never. He is in you as a seal. He is your seal. That even when you are the prodigal son in debauchery, that's mine. I know where every one of mine are because they have this seal on them. You have it. You cannot lose it by anything you do. It's God's faithfulness. It's a seal. Boom. Brand, your cows. He's branded us, as it were, with a wonderful brand, the Holy Spirit. And we belong to Him. And we may be a maverick way over here where we don't belong. We're still His. We belong to Him. There's a seal. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. You can have Him. I don't know why you want Him. Good. Take Him. I want Him. I love Him. He's mine. You have a seal. So this can never happen to any believer. Any person who's believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's permanent. Jesus Christ will say in John 14 when we get back there, forever. He will be in you forever. But we can lose His power. We can lose His ministry when we're walking with Him. We can lose His power. We can lose His ministry of guiding and teaching and giving us strength and wisdom and the fruit of the Spirit and the strength to resist sin and temptations and all the rest of it. We can lose that simply by not trusting Him, by walking in faith. We cannot lose the indwelling, But we can lose the power, his working power in us, his ministry power in us. You have to be careful, because I want you to start, because we'll see this in John, when we get back to John 4, or as we do. If this is your soul, I'm gonna just do it this way so I can quickly go through this. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit when you and I are in the flesh. Let's just put the flesh here. There is still a ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that. Even though we're not in, well, I'll just use the word active here, active ministry, leading, guiding, empowering, teaching, pouring the fruit of the Spirit and all that. But even when you and I are not in the power of the Spirit, that we still have a ministry like the sealing ministry. We don't lose that. We have convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is going to drive us to acknowledge that we're in sin and out. We're going to have the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will bring us to repentance, that will lead us to get back to trusting Him. The Holy Spirit is not dormant when you and I are in darkness. I used to teach that we were, and that was wrong. When you and I are not in the power of the Spirit, He's not just sitting there for us to do something in the flesh. What the Holy Spirit is doing, the Holy Spirit is God, and God is very jealous. And He's very jealous when you and I are in the flesh here. And He's not just going to, well, all His way. No loving parent does that. No, I'm going to go get you. I'm going to go, and I'm going to keep working, keep convicting, keep, you know, nudging, doing all these things. So we have studied the ministry of the Holy Spirit when we're in sin. But what I'm talking about in contrast to that, there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit when we're in fellowship with Him, when we're in power with Him. And this is where He leads and guides and pours in His Spirit, His fruit, and does all of these wonderful things inside of us. You cannot lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but you can lose the active ministry of the Spirit. And I think for us, we can use that word, active ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can lose His work inside of us simply by not walking by faith. And many believers, people, never know when they've lost the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't know the self-righteousness. See, most Christians know, oh, well, if you commit a real big sin, you lose it. People, you don't lose the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, by sinning. You've already lost it. That's why you're sinning. You've already lost His power. You've already lost that fellowship with Him. Sin is a result of that. Ah, I'm sinning. I'm not in the Spirit. But a lot of Christians don't know that they're not in the power of the Spirit. It's difficult for me, a bachelor, to comprehend this, but I know it's true. I've heard it too many times. Here's your divorce papers. What? Wait a minute. Let me put down my golf things here. What do you mean, divorce? What's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you leaving? It boggles my mind. You know, weren't you ready for the tornado? Weren't you, you know, did you see any signs? No. You know, didn't you realize when the meals were cooked? No, because I always ate out. Oh. Didn't you realize in the bedroom? No, because I was always too tired. Didn't you realize? No. Well, no wonder you never knew. You never were with Him. Not with the Holy Spirit. You don't know what it's like to have Him as your friend, to have your fellowship with Him, people. What a tragic place to be, not even to know it. And that's where He is. Didn't even know it. What was going on. What a terrible thing to happen. He did not know. All right, verse 21. We're making some progress tonight. Verse 21. Then the Philistines seized Him. Look what's going to happen now. Dear people, this is you. This is me when we're out of His power. Look what happens now. The Spirit has departed from Him. The power has left Him. Turn their head away from Him. Look what happens to us now when that happens. Then the Philistines, enemy, seized Him. One. Gouged out His eyes. Two. Brought Him down to Gaza. Three. bound him with bronze chains. 4, and he was a grinder in the prison. Grinder in the prison. A worker for the enemy. A worker for the enemy. Okay. This is what you look like when you're in the power of the flesh. This is what I look like when we're not in the power of the spirit. I hope you see this. Boy, that's a horrible thing. His eyes gorged out. Wow, man, God really got him. No, people, God didn't really get him. This is what we all look like when you walk in the power of the flesh. Your seeing eyes are gorged out and you're in darkness. Let's take a look at what happened now. This verse is so packed. All these verses are so packed with so many things. Then the Philistines. Anybody here ever taken a speed reading course? I have. Okay. Let me tell you the difficult thing of a speed reading course. Your eyes never see a word like that. And most people, even if they haven't had a speed reading course, zip right through it. Don't zip right through it this time. Let's talk about this. Then, temporal. Then, what causes then? The power of the Holy Spirit has departed. Then this happens. You lose the ministry of the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit. Then this is what's going to happen to you. Then this happens. This is a very important temporal particle. Then. First this has to happen. The Holy Spirit takes His power away from you. Then. Now you're going to see what you're really like without His power. Not all that important to you. You made fun of it. You made it a superstition related to your hair. Made mockery of it. Okay, let's see what you're like without it, Samson. Let's see what you're like without it, believer. This is what we are. This is what we're like. So people, then, once the Holy Spirit has departed, if you're taking notes in paper or in your mind, this is a stern warning. This is a stern warning for every one of us. You could just take that word and put that on your refrigerator door. Then. And it should be a stern, frightful warning. When we stop walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is when we stop walking by faith. And when we do this, this is what happens to you. Now, I want you to know something. You can't believe, now stay with me, you can't believe how the world, the devil, and your own flesh, you can't believe how the world, the flesh, and the devil see you and move upon you when you're without that power. You can't believe what the world, the flesh, and devil, how they move in on you to bring you down and to make you like mere men and make mockery of you. Satan tried, people, this is fundamental to the whole spiritual warfare. What's the deal with Job? What's the whole deal with Job? What did Satan say in chapters 1 and 2? Get him to me! I'll bring him down and he'll curse you. What did he say about Peter? Get him to me! He'll betray you. He denied even knew him. Don't you think for one moment you would never be like Job or Peter? God help you if you think you wouldn't be. You ought to live, we ought to live in fear. That can happen to me, that can happen to me. I better stay in the power of the Spirit. I know Job is me, Peter is me. This is what I will do. I will curse God. And if you think for 1 minute that the world, the flesh, and the devil can't, boy, I feel for you, because you're in for some movement. If you continue this journey, the world and the flesh and the devil, they see you without this power, and boy, they're going to move in because their objective is to bring you down. Satan couldn't stand Job. Satan couldn't stand Peter. Satan can't stand somebody who's walking by the Spirit and loves the Lord. He's going to do everything to show him, oh, he really doesn't love the Lord. And boy, when the world thinks that of you, it hurts inside until you get back. You can't believe what it's like. You can't believe what it's like to Peter, to Job, to be in that position. But here, they want to bring you to this thing. Woman divorces her first husband. In her journey, she meets a wonderful man. This is Romans and Galatians. She meets a wonderful man. She marries him. They have a wonderful marriage. She's happy in the marriage. He's happy in the marriage. The ex-husband comes along. Gets her to go to bed with him. He doesn't care about her, and it's not even the sex. It's to bring her down. It's to show the second husband, look what I can do. That's all that he's doing. That's all he wants to do. It isn't even a sexual desire. It is just a desire to bring her down from the one that she really loves. And he loves doing that. He loves the shame that he can get away with, because everybody else then will see. This is the business Satan is in, people. This is why what you and I should do, go and restore a brother immediately. God, don't help him to run him down, to make him crawl. You run to them, bring them back to the relationship with the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. This is just a beautiful picture. The world, the flesh, and the devil move in to bring you down, make you look like mere men. Two ways, sin, some blatant, horrible sin. It can be religious, make you very self-righteous, very religious looking, whichever way that they want to go with it, but just take you away from the relationship with the Lordship of the Holy Spirit. And why do they move in? Did you ever watch Animal World? When do the vultures and the other animals move in? When an animal is already hurt and down and weak, and they see it. Lions aren't dumb. Lions don't run. They run fast, but they don't run fast far. They don't make their kill within about 50 yards, that's it. It's going to be another couple hours before they get that much strength again to run. I don't even think it's 50 yards. And then they got to go lay down. They didn't do it if the kill got away. So what do? They watch. They look for the weak one in the pack. If it's a zebra, look for a young zebra. Just look for a wallaby. Look for the young wallaby. Look for a wallaby that's caught in the brush. Look for a wallaby who's trapped somewhere. And then seize him and eat him up. What's happening here? He's got him. Samson's weak. He didn't snap out of it like he did before. That's taking him and gorge his eyes out. Let's take him and mock him now. Let's take him and do all these things to it. But what I want us to see is this is what happens to us because we are weak. We must see ourselves as the world, the flesh, and the devil sees us without the power of the Holy Spirit. How the world and the flesh and the devil sees you without the power of the Holy Spirit is a victim to be attacked now and brought low and shown. Show God you're not so great. Boy, I'm gonna disgrace God. I'm going to take Job down. I'm going to disgrace God. I'm going to take Peter down. That's the way they think. That's what their objective is. So we want to see ourselves as the world and the flesh and the devil sees us without the power of the Spirit. But let me ask you something. How does God see us without the power of the Spirit? Let me tell you. he sees us as weak and helpless without him, to be brought back to his power. That's his love. Most Christians think he sees us just like the world does. He wants to come over and beat us for being out of his power and being weak and shaming and all the rest of it. Is that what he did to Job? Is that what he did to Peter? No! Is that what he did to David? No! That's not the business God is in. Don't get God confused with the world, the flesh, and the devil. When the world, the flesh, and the devil see you weak and caught in the briar path, they're going to come in and eat you up, devour you, bring you even lower and humiliate God. Hey, Christians, help them. How does God see you? There's one of mine needs my help and does all that he can to bring us back to him. Thirdly, how do you see others when they're weak? And that's up to you. How do you see others when you see them in their weakness? I don't care who they are. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, friends, church, work, social life. How do you see them? To be scorned, kicked out, mocked, devoured. Then you see them like the world, the flesh, and the devil does. Or do you see them like God does? I can't answer that for you. I can tell you how God sees you, and I can tell you how the world, the flesh, and the devil sees you. And by the way, did you see this? Did you catch it? Flesh, that's you. That's how the old man, yourself, sees you. Now you're back in my power now. You're going to satisfy our desires now. So, ask yourself, how does the world, flesh, and devil see a believer when they're in sin? Weak, out of the power of the Spirit. How does God see him? And how do you see him? What do you do? Okay, so let's take a strong warning. All this time has been well worth spent on that word then. I hope it just burns in your soul. Then, when I lose his power, then I am weak. That I am a victim of the world and the flesh and the devil, and I'll be no different than Job, and I'll be no different than David, and I'll be no different than Peter, and I'll be no different than Samson. They are me. I am they. When I'm out of that power. So, what do you want to be on alert for? Sin? Oh, no, people. Intimacy. Relationship. Fear a husband. I'm pick on the man. Fear committing adultery. No. No. Fear leaving the intimate relationship you have with that woman. That's what hurts most. It isn't the matter you committed adultery, it's the matter what was failing here with you and me. What was going on here? Let's go to God. My son bore the sin on the cross. He bore your stealing $100 on the cross. What I want to know is, why didn't you trust me with your need? I don't care about you stealing $100. I judged my son on a cross. What I want to deal with you on is, why didn't you trust me? Don't you think I would have taken care of your need? So let this be a stern warning. What we look like when we're out of his power to the world, the flesh, and the devil, what we look like to God, what we look like to ourselves. Then the Philistines. The Philistines are a picture of the enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil, the picture of three. And part of all three involves sin. Part of all three involves the religion of the law. Bring us under the law. Subject us to the law. When you're in the flesh, without the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're under the Philistines, this isn't going to be just a matter of sin. It may be a matter of self-righteousness, going to the law. Okay. Very important principle. Very important principle now. But this will close. What have I showed you? How weak we are. How weak we are when we're without his power. How weak we are without his power. But if you're thinking with me now, or maybe not with me now, but you're sitting there maybe thinking back to some of our previous studies in this study, And you say, wait a minute, wait a minute. We also have seen that when we're in the power of the Spirit, we can look very weak. We can look very weak, to man, very humble. We have made a good point that spiritual love will do this. Spiritual love will put you on your knees where you appear, there's the secret. In one, we are truly weak. In the other, we're going to appear to be weak. Stay with me in closing now. What did Samson look like in those first three times he lied with her? He looked weak, but he wasn't. She woke him up, he snapped out of it. He snapped right out of the law. He appeared weak. We may appear weak when we're in the power of the Spirit. Spiritual love may make us look weak. But people, this is not to be compared with the weakness without the Holy Spirit. For here you are truly weak. There's nothing you can do here. We can be strong. Now here it is. We can be strong in the Holy Spirit and look weak to the world. But we're not weak. We just look weak. Now here's a kicker for you. We are weak without the Holy Spirit, but we can look strong to the world. You can be out of the power of the Spirit and look strong to the world. John Wayne Christian, self-righteous, religious, moral, pure, knowledge, fruit, work, all kinds of works and service and emotionalism and third blessings and all the rest of it. So to the world you look very strong and very good, but God sees you weak without His Spirit. We can be strong in the Spirit, yet look weak to the world. We can be weak in the Spirit, yet look strong to the world. So what we're looking here is true weakness. The weakness that spiritual love brings us to is what? It's strength. But what I want you to see is here is that when the Holy Spirit has left you, you are truly weak, and they're going to do all these things, and there's nothing you can do because you don't have the power. You do not have the power. And now look what they're going to do when you don't have the power. By the way, I've just shown you two different ways in which you can look weak. This is why another reason, just another of a long list of reasons, why you want to stay away from judging other believers. Stay away from judging other believers. You may judge somebody to be a very strong Christian, and before God they are weak as they can be because they don't have the power of the Spirit. Everything they're doing is not with the power of God the Holy Spirit. You've judged them to be weak. You may look at another believer and think he's very weak, and he's very strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. Solution? Just stay away from judging. That's not your place. Here's a beautiful place to see it. I said this believer, and the whole time it was the Holy Spirit doing that with that person. And here I am, self-righteously judging him. Oh, God, help me from that. Well, let me help you from that. I'm not God, but let me help you from that by just saying, don't judge. Don't make that your life, because this gets into great trouble. What happens when we're truly weak? Okay, this is where we'll start in 2 weeks from now. Look, the first thing they do, they seized him. You're now being seized. You're seized by sin. You're seized by the power of the flesh. You're seized by self-righteousness. You're seized by arrogance. We'll get into all of this. And then the gorging of the eyes. Once you're seized, then you're blind. And boy, there's nothing like blindness. We can talk about Samson having his eyes gorged out, but dear people, that's what happens to you and to me when we're out of his wonderful power. We are blind. Our eyes are gorged out. And you know what's really bad? We think we're seeing. The most wonderful thing about Samson, he knew he wasn't. And that's going to come up later. He knew he couldn't see. It's a tragedy to have your eyes gorged out in darkness and not even know it and think you see. So we'll study here from this point on then, but just have this word then. It's a stern warning in your soul. Just remember that word. when I'm without his power, then boy, I am a prey. I am Samson. I am the Willoughby. I'm the zebra who's hurt. I'm the animal that's just lying there. All these vultures are going to come down. And in our study, I am Samson, and all these things are going to start happening. That's me. That's me without his power. Please let's see what's going on in this story. This is much more than just what most people do with it, because this is you and me. And at this point, without his power. But with his power, and I want to leave on a positive point, with his power, we're like those three times before. Snap right out of it. Boom. But when you're without that power, you don't do that. Closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a vivid picture you have brought to us in the story of this man. What a frightening picture you brought to us. What we look like when you lose the power of your spirit. Not only what we look like, but what can happen to us. You know, human sort of way, Father, we're sorry Samson had to go through all of this, but in a spiritual way, we're so thankful that he did and he recorded it. Because it becomes a stern warning for us. It becomes an eye-opener for us. That we're not unlike him. That we're exactly like him. When we lose the power, we're so vulnerable to all these things happening to each of us. But with the power of your love, the power of your love, Heavenly Father, we stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And your spirit can then pour in his fruit, your love, and transform us. Father, pray that you continue to take us on this journey that we're on in this life. Let us see each day more and more clearly what's going on in Scripture and in our own lives and in our own relationships with one another, we can fulfill the purpose for which we're here in a short time that we're on earth. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are. Love. In your Son's precious name. Amen.